made quite an issue of it. He was convinced of the fact that deity was not going to interfere. In other words, God is not going to answer the prayers of the selfish and those with ulterior motives. God answers that which deserves answering because this is the law. Deity is a principle of integrity, and this principle serves all who keep the rules and departs post haste from those who break them. Therefore, it is not a case of whether God can prevent evil. God does not cause evil. Man causes evil. God is not going to take over the problem of curing delinquencies. That isn't the purpose of evolution. The purpose of evolution is that the individual of his own integrity shall do that which is right. The individual will become the champion of his own cause, knowing that if his cause is right, universal law or deity will be with him. If he does it wrong, there is no prayer, chant, or mantra that will make it right. We've got to get down to some of these fundamental factors in our daily existence. If we don't, we're going to drift on into a new century. There is evidence that the actual situation is taking over. There is greater thoughtfulness. But there are several areas in which this thoughtfulness is being neglected. This thoughtfulness, particularly now in our religious life. We are not uniting religiously under the cause of the present day. We have great struggles between various political units in the name of religion. Religion is used as an excuse or as an arbitrating factor. But in the realities, we are not using religion to bring about world peace. We are working on the religious problem in the way that if you will join our religion, we will be peaceful together. There is no willingness of religion, really, honestly, to honor the faiths of other people. Somewhere along the line, religious barriers have to come down. Religion has to be regarded for what it really and actually is, and that is a faith in the reality of things, a faith in the principles behind things. There is no reason why the 4 billion people who are making up the religious world should not be immediately reconciled. They will not be reconciled, but it's not because of their religious differences. It's because of the ulterior motives that have been built up around these differences. And it's very often the result of a few selfish leaders using a doctrine to bind people to serfdom of some kind of political or industrial slavery. There is no doubt in the world that most of the religious people, left to their own devices and not stimulated by false teachings or activism of some kind, that they would get together and make a very happy family. We need the happy family religion. We need the religion in which we recognize that the purpose of religion is to protect the environment, protect the internal life of the individual, and conserve in every way possible the resources of the universe. These things are the way of God. Now, deity could, theoretically at least, force this upon us. And if it comes to something else, it wouldn't necessarily even be deity that forces it. We would force it on ourselves by breaking the rules of deity. It is far better then for us to start in working to build some kind of a basic integrity into the life of the world. Now, there are certain nations and countries in which most of these principles are very, very strong. And I think there have been among those principles we find people of every faith and every nation. But here we have certain privileges to do things. And I think we should make every possible effort to do them. We should begin to try to set up a model of a better way of life. We should gradually develop within this country what it was intended to be. It was intended to be the symbol of a united world. It was to be a symbol of peoples of all faiths and all beliefs working together, living together, thinking together, hoping together. It was to be a unity of people without class or caste, with equal opportunities for all and special privileges for none. This was what was intended. But this isn't what we find now. And what trouble is, we can't change it because it seems to interfere with the success of too many people to bring the thing back again into truth and order. Fortunately, however, we're getting awfully tired of some of the things that are happening here. The Near East is an abomination. We're developing the same problem throughout Latin America. All these various areas that have been at each other's throats for years are again at each other's throats, trying to solve problems by killing, hoping to achieve the brotherhood of man by exterminating anyone who disagrees with them. Well, this can't go on. Because in order to exterminate the race by this procedure, we will also exterminate the planet. We will so poison it and so toxinize it that nothing can live on it. And little by little, we begin to notice the effects of these things upon our harvests, upon our thinking, upon our family lives. Everything is gradually going into a toxic state, due very largely to mental and immoral stock toxins that we're spreading all over the world. We've got to get together on something that is basic. And I think the one thing that might help us to recognize is the fact that we are all by ourselves on a little ball, and that this ball is not going to get bigger, and all the wealth in the world is not going to make it more prosperous. We're not going to be able to have more resources than we possess. We're not maybe able to take out of this earth more than is in it. And we are gradually exhausting the concept of private wealth, and we are exhausting the process of an eternally bountiful nature that will let us make every kind of mistake and then forgive us. We are in a problem where I think physical sciences should begin a very careful study of the effect of human attitudes upon the material substances of the planet. That we begin to analyze the electric and magnetic currents by means of which life is perpetuated on the planet. We're going to understand more about the fertility of crops and find out where this energy comes from. We believe and know for certain in some things that it originates from the sun and finally comes here. But it's part of a great organization. It's not a place where it is channeled into delinquency groups and prisons. It is an energy that is diffused for our good. It is not diffused for us to sell it by the ounce. It is our use to rise out of this type of life and come to the realization that happiness is when we're all happy or all doing those things which create happiness. And that excessive ambition and excessive personal possession is simply gradually cutting the earth out from under our feet. We are now in the 6th billion. Next time, by maybe the end of the century, only 10 or 12 years more, we will be up to 7 billion. We will go on and on until we crowd each other off the planet. But nature isn't going to do it that way. If we have not the skill and wisdom to make some of these conscious changes for our own good, we will have to take the consequences. Now, it's quite true, for instance, that those of us who are alive today may not see the fulfillment of all these dreams and hopes. We probably won't. But if we begin to think in terms of them, and take that thought with us when we leave here, it will mean that living in this world has taught us something. We don't want to go before the great tribunal of the infinite, wherever and whatever it may be, and when asked what we learned here, we won't be able to say as the only thing that there are ways by which you can make 15% profit on the investment. That is not what we're here for. We're here for something a little better than that. It would be better for us to be able to go out and know that we are wiser in essentials, and that if it is our turn to come back, we will come back as better people, able to do more for the common good and to build it forward. And the words of Woodrow Wilson, it is very important to remember that it is better to fail in a cause that is right than to succeed in a cause that is wrong. We have to face these decisions, but we have to also grow. The only reason for human beings being here is to improve. And we have no evidence that narcotics helps to improve. We have no reason to think that rock music helps to improve. We have no reason to think that a collapse of the stock market is helping basically to improve anything. It is simply revealing our own mistakes. Now, we can learn from our mistakes, and that makes them valuable. But to just perpetuate them, hoping to get away with it next time, will take us out of here poorer than when we came. Every human being ought to be at least 1% wiser when he leaves. He should have learned something of the integrities of life. He should have learned something of the eternities of value. He should leave this world a better person than when he entered it. He should not be in a position where he decides that suicide is the only way out. He is here to gain some kind of internal fortitude, to learn to appreciate the beautiful, to serve the good, to dream of the things that can be. He may not live to see them, but this does not mean that the attitude is failing or is a loss. The things we learn now become the basic materials for future embodiments. The moral values we discover become part of the inner life, and they alone can we take with us when we leave here. And it's a pity to make a pretty nice little planet like this go through such concussions as we've forced upon it. We are the ones who are ruining it. It is still the wonderful planet. And with a little love and a little help and a little care, it can be a garden for unborn generations to come. But if we continue consistently to abuse it, it is going to also turn on us and create a generation of people incapable of attaining to a high degree of cultural maturity. I think we have to think, therefore, no longer about the gods fighting over the walls of Troy. No more about who is right in war and which side divinity is on, and realize that divinity is on the side of peace, and realize that as long as we do not attain to the peace with which we were intended to achieve, we will have these kind of problems, and they will get worse. Now, peace is a nice big word. It has all kinds of meanings. It also means peace over the back fence. It means neighbors getting along without gossiping and tearing down each other. It means a person who is proud of somebody else's better character. One who is pleased when the neighbor's son gets a better job and doesn't think always in terms of what I'm getting and what I'm not getting and why it's all unfair. We need to have the kind of peace that comes in marital relationships, where there is a mutual understanding, where there are depths of values, and where things of great importance, like parenthood, are accepted with a joyful realization of privilege. We are privileged to bring in and to mature lives that will be useful to us and will help the world to grow. We need also this peace in the garden. We need in the weeding out of that which is unnecessary. We need in the moderation of life and the curbing of extravagance of all kinds. And also to get over forever keeping up with the Joneses. We also have the importance of reorganizing our monetary structure for the purpose of seeing that money is what it was intended to be, a medium of exchange and not a basis of wealth. That was discovered by the Greeks long ago. That as long as wealth is an end in itself, it is the bitterest pill that we ever will have to swallow. Wealth is nothing but the means of communicating and exchanging. It is not convenient for the average person to put a load of hay in his back pocket. Therefore, he gets a token, a symbol of that, which he can exchange for something that he needs. But when he starts loaning that exchange at double rate, and all this type of thing, he gets into trouble. He also gets into trouble when he fails to recognize the rights of the person who sells to him and who is entitled to the same consideration as he expects for himself. As long as money is a symbol of communication or in exchange, it's all right. But when it becomes the end for which people work, where someone gets $5 or $10 million a year and another one has no bread, we're in trouble. This is the type of thing we're going to have to think of, because this is our world. This is our little planet whirling through space, headed we know not where. Possibly in a few billion years, it may disappear entirely. But by that time, its purpose also will have been finished. In the meantime, it is up to us to make sure that we make this planet a success, and that the powers that fashion this planet expect us to do so. We are none of us completely free. We have the right of choice. We have a right to do that which is best for all concerned, or to do that which is worse for all concerned. And we see, as we look around us, many, many opportunities to build these better things that we dream of. We face the great confusion of congestion. Congestion is one of the byproducts of unrestrained and irrational economics. We finally will bring all motion to the dead stop, because there'll be no way to move any further. This is just an emblem of our own stupidity. We should have cured these things in the beginning. There should have been regulations over what we do and what we have. Regulations not by a political group, but by common sense, by realization of the values which we are now beginning to understand. So now in this late period of the 20th century, we are beginning to see the facts of life. We are now coming to the point where we can't deny them anymore. We know we've got the congestion. We know that the buildings are too high. We just saw a big office building here get into trouble. We are seeing constantly the consequences of doing it wrong. We see the result of cheating. We see the result of exploitation in religion. We see these things, and they're very evident. But for some unknown reason, we don't seem to make a lesson out of it. We don't see where it refers to us, but it does refer to us, perhaps in some ways more than others. One of the ways in which we are involved in many of these situations is through television. Television is coming into practically all of the homes of America, or the majority of them, and it is bringing a very poor level of entertainment. An entertainment that inspires very little. On rare occasions, we have a really good program. But for the most part, the programs cater to the indifference, to the lack of integrities with which we are all suffering. Also, we are exposing the next generation to this type of entertainment with no thought of the consequences. We wonder why crime goes up, but we don't examine to find out why. Because if we do, it might mean we'd have to stop doing things that we prefer to do. Therefore, everywhere we turn, there are troubles resulting from lack of self-control, lack of integrity, lack of idealism, and complete bondage to the physical existence of which we are now a minor part. We are here only for fun. We are here, but we are in a universe that isn't funny. And also, well, the more we look for fun, the less of it we'll find, because the troubles we're heading into have nothing of fun about them. And while they seem to maybe cater for a while to our appetites and desires, all of a sudden something is going to fall, and fall hard. Every person who has spare time on their hands should spend more of it doing things that are important than simply watching very poor entertainment. It's all right to have a few shows once in a while. Everyone's entitled to. But there's no need for spending practically all of our leisure time watching artificial murders. This is a few other little varieties thrown in. But the answer is that that time is useful. If we took an hour out of each of the days that we spend in television viewing to instructing ourselves, to informing ourselves about the facts of life, what is happening and why, not depending upon the reports of news reporters, but by common sense thinking things through, calling for the first time perhaps upon our own judgment in matters, looking and waiting to have an opportunity to say, I think this is wrong, or I believe that this is not correct. And the moment we say, I don't believe it is correct, we should stop doing it. And we should take the time that we waste and use it to become better people. There is certainly something we can do with time more important than sitting in front of a tube while it goes into all kinds of real or mostly imaginary dramatical patterns. We have something better than this to do. Here we have a people unaware of the better philosophies of life, unaware of the big, deep things which make people rich and in understanding, learning to be more patient, learning to see through the infirmities of humanity and the better things that lie behind. More time to spend in sharing our thoughts with our children and with others, and less in front of something that offers nothing but escape. But we are in a position, in a predicament now, in which escape seems to be the happiest way of not thinking. The only way to avoid the inevitable facts is to laugh them off, or to get our mind on some trivia which takes our minds off of the natural responsibilities with which we should be and are actually confronted. There is no reason why the average person's leisure time should not help to rebuild human society. And there's always something that can be done. And that the last and only choice is self-improvement. The individual can gain knowledge, can gain understanding, can become aware of the great principles of life that he has no time for now. I have found the study of comparative religion to be a very magnificent thing, to enrich life and increase tolerance. It gives us something to build into the future. It shows us the thoughts of those who have thought well from the dawn of time. And it is also very amazing and interesting that these great thinkers are the ones that are remembered. They are still honored and always will be because they thought true. Those that think falsely will not become immortal. They will vanish into the earth, and as far as that's concerned, I read in the paper the other day, I don't know how true it is, but that a number of school children asked who was Adolf Hitler, and they'd never heard of him. He's gone. But no one who says they had never heard of Buddha or Confucius or Jesus in the countries where these things occur. There is a great wisdom, a wisdom of compassion, a wisdom of idealism that is truly, truly beautiful. There is something to understand about other people. We have now a melting pot of nationalities coming from here and there and everywhere. It is probably a pretty good idea for us to understand what they think and what they believe, instead of casting them aside as unbelievers or heretics or something. We should realize that the exchange of arts and the exchange of knowledge are a great civilizing force. when we exchange the laws of music with other peoples, when we find fine Greek paintings, when we do great works of sculpturing, all these things are part of the civilizing power of culture. And this culture is far more important than rock music. It is more lasting. And we still honor those who have left to us the great masterpieces of literature and art. We also can leave a great literature of our own inner lives. We can think better thoughts. We can begin more idealistically with life. We can end the criticism with which we view everyone who differs from us, and recognize that it is not these mental differences that are going to help us, the overcoming of them. When we solve a problem, we achieve something. When we shift it off or deny it or misweigh it, then we do nothing. So it is very, very important now for the individual to realize that we're on this little ball, that this little ball is getting tired, we all are, that this little ball is losing its power to defend us in terms of health, that it is losing the energy necessary to take care of the population that is coming, and that it is up to us to get to one with nature and do everything possible to help to make a better life for ourselves and those who come after we go. We're going to have to reform the planet because we have destroyed most of it that has been destroyed. And every day we are endangering it more. We cannot allow this planet to become one great battlefield. It has got to become a place where we can live together in peace and understanding. And it isn't difficult. Imagine going along through life without hating anybody, without constantly arguing, or with finding every opportunity to belittle something. All this is psychologically bad. The moment we start looking for faults, our own psychic integration is damaged. The moment we begin telling false stories about other people, our own minds sicken. Everything that is not normal, not healthy, not happy, not constructive, is dangerous to us. We have to get over this because it's becoming a mass ailment. And we have psychological plagues today that are as dangerous as the bubonic plague in Europe. The various plagues are the misuses of energy and power. They are the result of our own failures to live up to our principles. There's no reason why we should become a nation of drug addicts or a world of drug addicts. It is simply because it helps us to forget or to feel 10 feet tall when we're really about 6 inches high. It doesn't do us any good. The time is now is to roll up the sleeves, know our measure to be a certain amount that we were born with, that we are a person capable of conduct that is contributing to permanent value, capable of becoming better informed, capable of producing better children, giving them the sharing of parental understanding, giving them the background of reading and writing before they even go to school, giving them an internal sense of the integrity of life. When we put these children out somewhere to board or something, we're not doing this. And if we sit them in front of television screens, we are doing them more harm than good. Yet you will say you can't take it away from them because all the neighbors have it. Well, that is true now, but we are responsible for that too. And we're responsible for gradually doing the things that win them back to value. I know several families with family discussions on these matters who have cut down television viewing without the children rushing out to find a set somewhere else. If you share with them the reasons right, most children who have not been too badly spoiled are willing to listen because they see it in the schoolyard. They see it in the curriculum. They know they're not getting educated. Therefore, these things are more important than to try to forget them. Let's not continue trying to forget the problems. Let us not continue to worry about the problems. That is doing no good. But let's quietly settle down to seeing what we can do about the problems that will make them less dangerous, less difficult, and that we can be a little more satisfied with our own contribution to the common good. We need this type of thinking today. We've got to get over the idea that gods in heaven are fighting over human beings, that wars are created in heaven is not true, that the gods favor one side, so that when they go to war, very often, even in recent times, the armies are blessed in the churches and temples. The idea of going out and fighting for the glory of God is still an unhappy career. There is no such a thing as pleasing God by destruction. There is no way of making the deity a better friend because we break all his rules. We do not need to break these rules. We should pray for peace and not for war. We should pray for arbitration and not for victory. We should pray for being able to be friends, to recognize the integrities and life rights of other people, respect them, and gradually in this way also gain an ascendancy over crime. For a large part of crime is simply the result of a bad environmental condition that must be changed. We are here in these formative years to build the foundation of a new century. We are here now to do the things that need doing, and we may have a little time left in which we can do some of these things, and it is very wise for us to lay the foundations of that which must come. And these foundations have got to be founded in the very principles that we have most appreciated in life, that the greatest of these is love, that to serve and love the life of our neighbor, to love the good in things, and to approach deity as a deity of love, and realize that love is the strongest and most powerful of all the laws. For the law of love is the law of forgiveness. It is the law of arbitration. It is the law of reunification. Love is the group living together in peace, each mindful of the needs of the others. In our way, living in worlds of hate, each one unmindful of the needs of others and over-mindful of their own, we are having a very bad time. Let us not blame the gods in any way for this matter. Let's not assume that the blessing of a bad motive will produce a victory. Napoleon found that out. Most of the dictators and leaders have acted or played the part of agents of heaven. They have come to do the work of God. And the work of God included the Inquisition and many of these great disasters. The works of God were served by killing each other. This is not only stupid, it is vicious. It is completely wrong. We are not here to destroy each other. We are here because that in every one of us is the same divine spark of life. And when we turn against our brother, we turn against our God in our brother. When we turn against a nation, we turn against its God. But we must realize that all these powers come from one life, that the human being has created the empires we must live with. And this human being is creating things with a divine energy within himself. It is God in him that must lead him to find the God in all others. And when he does, he'll find there's only one God. He will find that there are no strangers in the universe. Man makes them. That there are no feuds in the infinite. Man perpetuates his own small toxic efforts. All these things have got to be solved in a better way. They've got to be solved, as Paul very well points out, that so love suffereth long and is kind. What we need in a world which declares itself to be modern, to have graduated from 12,000 years of previous civilizations, that this world find that the greatest of these is love. That out of all the hating, we must come in the end to the realization that love is the only answer. Love is kindness, tolerance. Love is respect for each other. Love is a natural recognition that there are no strangers. That what we call the stranger is ourselves in another body. If we come to these realizations and really practice them, we'll find that wasted energy and wasted time will not deter us any longer. We will begin to do the things that need doing that we have neglected. And in our effort to have a life of fun, we have neglected the sources and causes of happiness. If we can get these back, we'll be much better off and much wiser. So we don't want gods fighting each other. We don't want the Muslims saying Allah Akbar. We do not want the Christians saying for the glory of God. We don't want any of these things. What we want is peace, love, brotherhood, and companionship for the glory of the eternal and the permanent security and integrity of the human family. Thank you.